reading from the first chapter of the Gospel of Luke. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." But Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called the Son of God. And now, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." And then the angel departed from her. The word of the Lord.
A reflection of Mary. No one ever listens to girls. Not in my world. No one listens when we have something to say. No one believes us when something amazing happens. And no one believes us when we're used and abused. I was by the hearth when it happened. I don't know where my mother and father were, or my brothers. I was by the hearth making bread. It was one of my tasks. I heard a noise. I thought it was the buzz of insects, but it was feet on gravel. And then I heard a voice, an unfamiliar voice, clear. It could have been a man or a woman's. And then one word, "Hello." And then a face poked in through the door. When I think about it now, I think it was a young face. But I can't be sure. I just thought, "You are so beautiful." I wasn't scared. I know I should have been. After all, the visitor was a stranger. I should have run. But I stood my ground, and when she spoke, the more I thought about it, the more I think she was a she was kind. "Mary, I've got something to ask." She knew my name. "Who are you?" I asked. "You already know," she said. And I did. I knew she was a messenger. "Will you say yes?" the angel asked. There was fear in her voice, as if any answer might be the wrong one. I even knew what I was being asked. I said, "Why me?" She shrugged. She wept. I stared. "Will you do it?" she asked. I gave the answer that I knew I must.
Thank you.
reading from the first chapter of the Gospel of Luke. When Zechariah's time of service was ended, he went to his home. And after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and for 5 months she remained in seclusion, saying, "This is what the Lord has done for me when he looked favorably on me and took away the disgrace I have endured among my people." The word of the Lord.
Curse God and die? That verse has been stuck in my head for years, building like a headache. Not that I could ever admit it. I wouldn't be acceptable for a priest's wife. We're a righteous couple. We're chosen. We set an example, and my task is to support my husband in all that I do. We are blessed. Blessed in every way except one, children. The shame of it. At first we laughed. Then we said we just needed to find the right time, God's time. After a few years we stopped talking about it. Then we stopped trying. We tried to ignore the gossips who talked behind our backs. Sometimes I could go for months, years, without thinking about it. I was busy. I was an important person in our community. Zacharias was always busy. I guess it meant we didn't have to talk. And then we were old, and our chance was past. I should have let it go, but I couldn't. And I couldn't speak of my anger and disgust with God, with anyone. I couldn't voice my shame. I wanted to curse God and die. I was old and tired. I stopped sleeping. I talked to myself. In my head, the pressure built and built. I started to hear another voice, not mine. It said, "Curse God and die." A sweet voice, a girl's voice. My voice from another time, maybe. Sometimes you cannot resist. Some voices go on for so long, you just give in. So I did. I lay down on my bed and said it. Nothing happened. I felt ridiculous. I cried. There was no God, one that heard me anyway. Can a curse be a blessing? It's ridiculous to say I felt pregnant because I cursed God. But being honest unblocked something inside of me. It helped me to start over. A new thing happened in me, something impossible, the stirring of a child. Scripture says that in the days of justice, your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams and your young men will see visions. I don't think it said that and women will conceive. But they say Hannah, the mother of the prophet Samuel, was ancient when she conceived. They say that Sarah was practically dead when she was promised. And she laughed. Whatever, whoever it is stirring in me, and be let it be a sign of justice. For everyone who ever veil cursed, who's ever had to keep a respectable face when the world's gone wrong, who has ever cursed God, who never thought they'd laugh, who will never conceive, who needs someone to call the world to account?
A reading from the first chapter of the Gospel of Luke. In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leapt in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of the Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leapt for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." The word of the Lord.
To be old is one thing. To be old and pregnant is another. I've learned to live with the first. I'm trying to get used to the second. I think I'm becoming adept at the impossible. I shouldn't have been surprised then by what happened when Mary arrived. She was barely showing, but I knew all the same. More than that, I felt our common cause. I felt our bond in heaven and earth. Do women have special knowledge? It's always sounded ridiculous to me, but sometimes when we are alone, away from the noise of the men, we find our own wisdom. And wisdom was always female. When Mary walked over the threshold, I felt my baby kick inside. It wasn't the first time, but it was still a shock. I was still getting used to the impossible. And when my baby kicked, he worked something in me. I stopped sleeping and saw the Spirit's part in all of this. I saw how the Spirit was with Mary and the Spirit was with me. That the Spirit had blessed us both. Ours was an extraordinary blessing, a trinity of love, of Mary, the Spirit, and me. A new glory coming to birth through us.
Reading from Luke. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has aided his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever. And and Mary remained with her about 3 months and then returned to her home. The word of the Lord.
A reflection of Mary. And on that day when I sang, that day I met Elizabeth, I sang of how my body was full of God, and my spirit rejoiced in the Spirit in all her works, for she was with me in my poverty and in my riches. And I sang of how, even if I am nothing to the power brokers, if to them I am just a woman, just a child, the wild justice of God had blessed me, and holy is her name. And I sang of her mercy, of how her mercy will be lavished on those who dare to rejoice in her awesome love, who dare to oppose the mighty and the greedy from everlasting to everlasting. For she has shown the courage of women and the toughness of mothers and scattered the arrogant and the overbearing. She has upturned the thrones of the powerful and exalted the nobodies. She has fed the starving and has shown her fury towards the man and the selfish. She has remembered her people who walked in the desert. She has remembered our ancestors. According to her promises to Sarah and Hagar, Ruth and Naomi, Deborah and Jael, and to their descendants forever.
From Luke. Now the time came for Elizabeth to give birth, and she bore a son. Her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown his great mercy to her, and they rejoiced with her. On the eighth day they came to circumcise the child, and they were going to name him Zechariah after his father. But his mother said, "No, he is to be called John." And they said to her, "None of your relatives have this name." Then they began motioning to his father to find out what name he wanted to give him. He asked for a writing tablet and wrote, "His name is John." And all of them were amazed. Immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue freed, and he began to speak, praising God. Fear came over all their neighbors, and all these things were talked about throughout the entire hill country of Judea. All who heard them pondered them and said, "What then will this child become?" For indeed, the hand of the Lord was with him. The word of the Lord.
And what is to be learned from silence? What is to be learned from listening to a different voice from the one religion tells you is true? The male voice, the voice of authority, the voice everyone imagined God used in the wilderness to command Moses. My time in silence has taught me to cherish a different voice, a voice with another kind of authority, ancient, comprehending. A mother's voice, perhaps, that knows exactly where all her children have come from, that will not sleep till she knows they are flourishing. I have been blessed to hear that voice, a voice I've never really heard before, mainly because I've been so concerned with my own. I've been making noise all my life, and finally, struck silent, I had to listen. Listen first to the voice of Elizabeth. Listen to the sound of her changing body and the child that grew within. I learned the meaning of touch, of how Elizabeth's miracle was mine too, when she asked me to place my hands on her swollen belly. Most of all, I learned to trust the quiet voice of God that does not insist, but waits for us in the silence and gives us our true voice. I learned that when I finally spoke my blessing, when our child was born, when our boy was named John, not Zacharias after me, I spoke out of a deep silence where all good news is made. For God is faithful.
Reading from the first chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. Now the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and he named him Jesus. The word of the Lord.
Do I look like a fool? I might not be the sharpest nail in the box, but that doesn't mean I deserve to be treated like a pillock. That's what I felt like she'd done. Mary, my intended. She told me she was pregnant. I laughed when she said it. It would be typical of her jokes. But from the look on her face, fierce, determined, scared, I saw this was no joke. I stared at her and couldn't speak. I saw that she thought I might hit her or spit on her. That's what made me angry, that she could think that of me. I wanted to get out. I wanted to shout. I kicked a chair across the room. Mary stood her ground. I felt ashamed to lose my temper like that. I breathed deep and said, "Who's the father?" "God," she said. I laughed again. A sneer, really. I didn't deserve to be insulted. I walked towards the door. I drop her, release the obligation. It was more than she deserved. She deserved to be publicly shamed, stoned. "Joseph," she said. Just one word, Joseph. It was the way she said it that mattered. It wasn't pleading. It wasn't full of tears. There was no fear. It was gentle. It had authority. It was her voice, but it was not her voice. It was a voice that knew me, that was more intimate than a whisper in my ear. It was a voice, impossible though it sounds, that knew my body better than I could. It was a voice that stopped me. It was a voice that told me I should try to trust her. It was that voice which helped me say yes to her, to God.
A reading from the second chapter of the Gospel of Luke. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus Octavius that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration, and was taken while Quirinius was governor of the province of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. The word of the Lord.
They come to me to register their ordinariness. That is the purpose of this census, not to show how much wealth there is to exploit, not to count heads, but to demonstrate once and for all that we're in charge. These people need to understand that it is we who have the big ideas, not them. We give them concessions, they can worship their puny god if they want, they can keep their holy places pure, but they are to be in no doubt what power really looks like. These people believe that their God will deliver them. From what? Us, I suppose. They call us oppressors, exploiters, all of the easy names. They talk of salvation and hope. Every now and then a few of them rebel because the weak like things simple. Good versus evil, black versus white, as if we're the enemy. The true enemy is superstition. We bring civilization and development. We lift them out of superstition. When they pray for salvation, they're rejecting the light of reason. They're fools. They line up and give their names and professions, peasants, the lot of them. None more pathetic than the carpenter and his pregnant wife. He stood there and could barely mumble his name. His wife shook with pain. It was a disgrace that he couldn't provide for her better. And her fit to pop, too. Bethlehem, the city of kings, they called it. This carpenter was in Bethlehem because he was descended from King David, or some such nonsense. You want a metaphor for how ridiculous this country is? The city no longer produces kings. It produces scared little men and women like the carpenter and his wife, pieces in other people's games. I feel sorry for the kid this couple will have. To be born into poverty and superstition, it would be better if he were never born.
Hospitality is part of our faith. We're supposed to be hosts as God is host, to welcome strangers as God welcomes the stranger in the land. As if it were that simple. A Roman told me once that in his language, hospitality comes from the same root as both enemy and guest. Now that makes sense because there's nothing pure about hospitality. Someone always wants something. Can anything be freely given, freely received? I don't know why I ignored my instinct when the couple knocked on my door. There's been dozens of them, all day, every day for a week, forced to travel for the sake of a census. I was sympathetic, of course. The regime was making ridiculous demands on decent people. But I had nothing. I had barely enough for my own family. I'd told most of these refugees to head to the camp at the edge of town. The conditions were terrible, but it was the best we could offer. Our community was overwhelmed. It was late, and when I heard the knock, it was all I could, not to tell them, it was just to clear off, though not so politely. But they kept knocking, demanding hospitality, I thought. I thought of what my Roman friend had said about hospitality. I went and answered and launched into my spiel. Sorry, we've got no room, blah, blah, blah. The couple simply stood there and waited for me to finish. They were so exhausted. The man almost wild with exhaustion. The woman, well, the girl, breathless. She was in pain. I thought she was hurt. Then I saw she was extremely pregnant. The man said, "Please." I was angry. I felt manipulated. Couldn't they see I had nothing? Couldn't they get it that I'd had people like them banging on my door all day for a week? They stared at me. "I can't help. Sorry," I said. "My wife," the man said, pointing at her belly. I was sick of sob stories. I began to shut the door. "Wait," it was the girl. It was the shock of hearing a female voice that stopped me. The women don't usually speak. "Please," she said, "for the baby, somewhere dry, for when it comes." I looked at her. She was a kid, but she was tough. She had nothing left except a determination to get the baby born. I stared at her, nodded. I showed them to a shelter out back. It was adequate. It was dry. "You've blessed God," the girl said. "When he comes, he will bless you."
reading from the second chapter of the Gospel of Luke. While they were there, the time came for Mary to deliver her child. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger, for there was no place for them in the inn.
A reflection of Mary. Your eyes are open now. Those eyes which will open the eyes of others. You study my face, and just for the moment, though you came for the world, you are mine and mine alone. I made you and you made me, and we gaze at each other in equal wonderment. Your eyes are open now, and so dark, bright, sent from a night full of light and stars, that I could watch you forever. Watch your chest rise and fall as you breathe the cattle-soaked air. I would like this moment to last forever. You are so wonderful to me, so truly wonderful, just as you are. But not my will, Lord, but yours be done. I must hand you over, for the world cries out for you, though I cry out to let you go. Just for tonight, let the future leave us in peace. Close your eyes, little baby. Close your eyes on the dusty darkness of the world. There is majesty in you, but for now let it hide. Let it hide like a gem while you sleep.
From the second chapter of the Gospel of Luke. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us. So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. And when they saw this, they made known what they had been told about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told to them. The word of the Lord.
People are unpredictable. Apparently this is just point it down. One day you're fed honey cakes. Another, you're wrestled to the ground and expected to pronounce a blessing. I thought I'd have to threaten this lot, this gang of rugby men and women who live in the wilderness and spend far too much time alone with animals. A rough lot who see wolves and shadows, who attack first and ask questions later. I thought I'd have to show them magic tricks. Lights in the sky, a heavenly choir. I thought I might need to take a sword to one of their throats. Instead, they were intrigued. There's a reason shepherds have always been closely associated with God and the kingdom. They live on the edges and in the lonely places. They get how it is for God. They know God is most at home, away from the palaces and glory. They know that God is at work in the dark, and the dark is dazzling and beautiful. They saw my clothes and my skin and knew that I was gloriously strange. They knew that God had come to be with them. After that, it was easy. No need for magic. No need for heavenly choirs. I strode up to their leader and pointed out the way. She nodded, as if in that moment she was in touch with the shepherds of old who'd spent long nights in conversation with the angels. I nodded. She placed a hand in mine and said, "Lead on."
We had no business being there. Our place is out in the hills, in the wilderness, guarding the sheepfold. The glory we know is seen in the clear night skies, the stars uncountable. The goodness we know is in a job well done. It gets cold out on the hills, and everyone sees strange things. In the bush, in the dark, a bush becomes a wolf. But I've never seen the stars become angels before. But we have seen another glory too. We know we're not always loved, us shepherds. Some say we're not respectable. Others think we're the symbol of God's love. No one ever quite sees us for what we are. Women and men trying to do a difficult job, wanting a bit of respect. But that's the glory of what we've seen. Not the glory of a sky turned to song, not the glory of kings and queens of old, not even the glory told in the scriptures. We saw a child, and the child saw us. That night we were not disreputable. We were not the symbols of Israel. We were just men and women. Because that's what a baby does. He's not interested in anything other than being loved and cared for. And he responds to love. The parents let me take him in my hands. My unwashed and greasy hands. I held the Holy Child, and the Holy Child held me.
Thank you.
Gathered together, let us confess our faith. We believe in God, robed in splendor, veiled in mystery, ruler alike of darkness and light. We encounter God in Jesus Christ, who was tortured and put to death, but whose radiance could not be quenched, whose touch brings a blaze of color to a dull, drab world, reviving the weary, healing the wounded, dazzling the satisfied. We walk with God, guided by light of God's loving Spirit, who enters the shadowed places of our hearts and leads us into truth and life. We wait for God and for the fulfillment of God's promises, for the time when the darkness will hold no fear and the light will no longer blind, but creation will be made whole once more and God's peace will reign forever. Amen. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
Yes, they're away. Now it's working. So we've decided to do a surprise for the pastors because this year's coming up on 4 years that they've been with us, I think. Something like that. We're intending on filling a book with things that come from you all about how the pastors have changed the church, how they've changed us, and how they've affected our lives positively. So we have a bunch of, actually you can say that.
There's a table outside with some pieces of paper, and you're welcome to write something here or take it home and bring it back and spend more time on it. We just are hoping to get everything in before the last Sunday in March so we have time to assemble a book, which is lots of time.
Yeah. So yeah, and there's a few ways you can get us these little pieces of paper. You can either send it to Diane in the office during the week. You can put it in the mailboxes of the Schmidts, the Larsons, the Rhodes, and Gundars' family, and I can't pronounce his name, so yeah. But if you put them in the mailboxes, just put it in a little envelope with one of our names on it so that they won't suspect it. And that's where this other part comes in. We have to keep a congregation-sized secret from two of the most important members of the congregation.
For like four months.
So, yeah. There will be an email coming out sometime in the next week about this, so there'll be more email information on the email. Also spread the word, just not to the pastors. Because as you can tell, there aren't a lot of us here. So, yeah, spread the word to, you know, your friends in the church and your groups, you know, men's breakfast, whatever. So, yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Merciful Father, we offer with joy and thanksgiving what you have first given us, ourselves, our time, and our possessions, signs of your gracious love. Receive them for the sake of him who offered himself for us, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And gathered together, let us pray for the church and the world and all those in need. God, Savior of the world, who was born as a human child in Bethlehem, there is no room for you at the inn. We pray for all who are rejected, all for whom there is no home, no welcome. We pray for those who are outcasts in today's world, through poverty, hunger, and oppression. God, in your mercy,